Welcome to Reclaiming Confidence. Join me as I talk about all things relationships, feminine energy and leadership, confidence, and everything that will make your life more fun, abundant, and connected. I'm your coach, Nicole Lillian. Welcome back to another episode on the Reclaiming Confidence podcast. In this episode, I'm so excited to be talking about an event that recently happened in my life, and I hope that by sharing what I'm about to share on this podcast episode, you're able to learn from my mistakes, and you're also able to get an insight of what it's like to be behind the scenes in creating such events like bringing an international artist over to your studio or to your company in order to create an absolutely incredible experience for your community. Now, for those of you who are really familiar with my podcast and you've been listening to me for a while, you would have noticed that it has been a long time since I've updated you guys on what's been going on in my life. And it's also been a long time since I've done any topic on this podcast, in fact. And the reason for this is because I have been so busy working in and working on my business. This new company of mine and my partner's has really been challenging me creatively. It has been pushing my comfort zone, and it has most definitely been challenging my own confidence in the greatest ways, in the best ways, in the snotty nose and wet eyes ways. It's been really challenging me, but it has also been helping me grow and blossom and becoming this woman that really knows who she is and what she is capable of creating, calling in, and make happen for herself. A mantra that I've been living by the past couple of months whilst my life has been blowing up with so many opportunities is to not just talk about it, but be about it. Like, if you're talking about being a confident person, go be about that. If you're talking about starting a business, stop talking about it. Go and be about it. Go and take action to become these things and do these things that you say you're going to be and do and have and create. Because for myself in my life, I know that I used to be the kind of person that would talk about all these cool dreams that I had, but I would never take it upon myself to ramp up the courage within to go after my dreams. And the past year in my business, I've really had to take responsibility of where I have been all talk in my life and start going, okay, it's time to take action. It's time to actually be the person I say that I want to be and be more of it. Absolutely be so embodied in her so that when I am stressed, when I am frustrated or overwhelmed, I default to what I am embodied in, and what I am embodied in is that woman that I keep talking about being. It's the confident woman. It's the empowered woman. It's the unfuckwithable woman. It's the woman that's grounded and at peace within herself. It's the woman that backs herself, that goes after what she wants, and that knows that no matter what stress, what distraction, or what challenge comes after her or is presented to her, she is able to deal with it, she is able to move through it, and she's able to still hold everything that she deserves and everything that she desires. So I've really been working on embodying this woman of my dreams and doing the things in my life that scare the shit out of me but are of my wildest dreams. Like, for instance, bringing an international artist over that I absolutely adore, that has inspired me in how she moves and how she dances, and also what she personally holds as her own brand. There's been way too many times in my life where I have sacrificed a great opportunity for myself at my own interference and critical self-talk saying that I don't know enough, I haven't done enough, I don't have enough experience, I'm not the kind of person for this. Those are just a few of the criticizing words and inner self-talk that I used to give to myself that would take away my dreams, that would minimize myself and shrink myself and shrink my gifts and sacrifice my gifts that actually are there, all because I didn't have that self-belief, all because I was internalizing other people's voices that weren't for me, that weren't of supporting me and uplifting me and being a stand for my greatness. Because I internalized that, as a result, I believed it and I was no longer giving myself these opportunities that were being given to me at my doorstep. They were just waiting for me to take them. And I said, no, insert reason here, I'm not good enough, blah, 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 blah. I share this vulnerably, knowing that there are so many other leaders out there who still put themselves in this position, who are absolutely talented, who are mesmerizing, who are inspirational, and who continue to shrink themselves in other communities and other spaces because the people that are surrounding them cannot handle their greatness, do not want to support their greatness. And so what do? We remain depressed. We remain sad. Why are we sad and why are we depressed? Because we're shrinking ourselves. We're not letting our full expression and our gifts and our talents come to life. And this is poison to our soul. Our spirit just leaves our body the moment that we shrink ourselves instead of actually rising to the occasion and expanding. But the thing is, if we are not in an environment or a community that backs our greatness, that supports us, and that is a nourishing environment for our talents to flourish, we will be poisoned. We will not be able to grow. We will stop believing in ourselves and we will no longer back our potential. So if we want to change that, we have to be surrounded by an incredible community. We have to be very clear on our values and what kind of friendships and sisterhoods and brotherhoods, etc., that we desire. And also what kind of business you desire, so we can start saying yes to the things that are for us and no to the things that are of anything lower than that. Because we do have standards. We are allowed to have standards. I am allowed to have standards. You're allowed to have standards. We all are allowed to have standards. Your best friend, who may no longer be your best friend because of their standards, is allowed to have that standard. And if we didn't have these standards, then we would not stand for anything. What makes a powerful leader in their community is a person who stands for something. If you don't have standards, you do not stand for something. You do not hold the power to inspire and to influence others to follow their dreams, to follow their standards, to follow their opinions, to voice their opinions that can also inspire and move many other generations on this planet. So I've had standards, really strong standards that I've had to revisit over the past year, and I have inserted them into my life. I've also undoubtedly fucking backed myself in knowing that no matter what inner critic wants to come up, I know that I am worthy, I know that I'm deserving, and I know that I'm capable. And everything that is coming up, that is any thought that doesn't inspire hope or faith, that thought is something for me to move through. It is a demonic thought for me to move through in order to prepare me for what is about to be delivered into my life. It is my duty, it is my rites of passage to move past that thought, that doubt, that thing that's coming up that wants to try and stop me from being in my greatness. It's my duty and responsibility to move through that, to gain the rites of passage, to be standing in the opportunity, being the dream that I say I want to be, right? This is our duty, all of us, to move through the doubt, to move through the demonic thought, to move through the thing that is holding us back from the very thing that we want, from the very experience that we say that we're not great enough to have yet. It's our duty, it's a rites of passage to just move through that first, to gain the right to actually become that version of ourselves, to have that thing that we've been dreaming of, because it is so much closer than what we think. Now, this brings me into the very start of the story of bringing over Kayla Brenda, our very first international artist. And I have to go back to the very start of the story, because this wasn't like a goal. This wasn't actually a thing. It actually started out as a joke. Okay, so let me paint the picture for you. My partner and I, we started this dance company together 2022 in December. So it's still a baby. It's so young. And Amongst Queens is only just over a year old. I've been running Amongst Queens for eight months now, and I only just started open classes like 6 months ago. So it is fresh, it is new, but I tell you what, I was so determined in just showing up and doing what I loved, and because I was in my passion, because I was in my purpose, because I was in the love of it all for the right reasons. My reason behind doing it was so pure. It just went so well. It blew up bigger than what I could have ever imagined, bigger than how I ever thought it would. And during this time of, yeah, running my open classes and my partner doing his thing and the company growing, we were following a few different artists, but there was always one particular dance artist that I just loved. And her name was Kayla Brenda. And I would watch how she moved. I watched how she danced. But most importantly, I really felt her character. The character of someone is identified by like their personality, their vibe, what they're doing clearly. And what she was doing was not only like dancing and performing, which is cool, but she was also doing her own thing with Body Love Sanctuary. And what I loved about Body Love Sanctuary is that the meaning behind her reason for creating that space and what that space was for was in deep resonance with what I'm passionate about, which is inspiring women to like love their body, to connect with their soul, to feel and express in movement and just be a fucking like incredible woman that like loves themselves so deeply. So because she was also doing that, I was like, oh my gosh, this woman is just so in resonance to everything that I do. So I'm inspired by her, not because of the cool things that she does, but because of who she is, her character, and what she provides, her service that she provides. So that's what drew me to Kayla Brenda. There's so many other dance artists out there, and as I've said to my students and other companies who want to bring over international artists, I'm like, yeah, that's cool, but like my reason for wanting to bring Kayla Brenda over is because of who she is and what she also does that is so aligned with what Amongst Queens does. If it was any other artist, it wouldn't be the same. Like I've actually had there's only one other artist actually out there that I'm inspired to bring over, but all the other artists that professional dancers are super inspired by, there's no desire yet for me to have them come and teach in the Amongst Queens community. The purpose of Amongst Queens is very specific, and it is to empower women through dance. It is to create these leaders that are backing themselves, and dance is just a really simple, incredible way for us to access a newfound embodiment and for us to get to our bullshit quicker. Because once you're faced with yourself in that mirror, you cannot hide or run from anything. You're faced with your bullshit and your greatness, and it will show you what you need to work on in order for you to step further into your greatness, further into what we like to call at Amongst Queens, your queenship. So when I was wanting to bring Kayla Brenda over, it was the idea of bringing her over to help also empower these queens into their self-leadership, to help empower these queens closer to their empowerment, closer to their body love, not just do cool moves and connect with a professional dancer. That was not what I wanted. What I wanted was a wholesome experience that has so much more depth and meaning than just learning a cool moves and doing some technique. So I knew, my heart and my spirit just knew that Kayla was so much more about this. So I was standing in the kitchen with my partner, and another one of our housemates at the time, and we were just making some jokes about, ha ha ha, imagine if like Kayla Brenda came over and taught in Amongst Queens, and then I went to go on and so did our housemate, saying, oh, imagine if you were to run a workshop with her, that would be so funny, ha ha ha, imagine if this could happen. And it was all like a ha ha funny joke. The reason why this conversation happened is because Kayla came to visit Perth about maybe 10 months ago. And so we noticed she was in Oz, and it got us thinking, imagine if she actually came to our, well, to our company, to our dance studio, and did a workshop with us or for us. So from there, what ended up happening was Douglas sent a message to Kayla on stories, just general conversation, and he got a reply, and that became a whole chit-chat thing, and she ended up following him. So the connect started there. We were still joking about the whole concept of Kayla coming over, but we definitely remained open to the idea. So I decided to try and get one up on Douglas by saying, okay, you got a follow from Kayla. I'm going to get a voice note from Kayla. Now, I went to go send a voice note to Kayla. I haven't connected with her. I haven't ever spoken to her. All I've done is follow her for about 5 months. So at this point, when I was about to send a voice message, I just thought, what do I have to lose? The worst thing that could happen is she'd say no, or she just wouldn't reply to my voice note if I asked her to actually come and do this workshop that we're joking about. So from a very serious note within myself, I thought, I'm going to actually take the leap. I'm actually not going to just talk about this. I'm going to try be about this and ask. I'm going to ask for what I want, even though it feels scary. So I sent her a voice message just being like, hey, Kayla, I noticed that you were in Australia. I was like chatting to Douglas, my partner, Chocolate Daddy on Instagram, and I really am inspired to run a workshop here in Perth for my queens, and I really want you to come and be a part of it. I want you to teach here. I want you to share your magic. And it was just something along the lines of that, and I just mentioned how she does body love and how like I really love what she is about. And so an hour later, I get a voice note reply from her, and I'm like, no fucking way. I got a voice note reply, and it was soon after, and it was incredibly positive and basically, in a nutshell, a fuck yes. The only thing was we had to wait for Kayla to organize other tours in Oz for it to be worth her while to come over to Perth. So she was definitely in. She was definitely keen to run a workshop. I was in conversation with her manager for 8 months, almost 9 months. Well, 8 months to get the workshop confirmed, and then like took 9 months for her to get here from the moment of that conversation. So it was a long process, but to my surprise, it was an easier process than what I thought, simply because Kayla was so open and really easy to communicate and super responsive. And so during the conversations with her manager, once she put me in contact with him, we were talking about, okay, what is this workshop going to be about? When is it going to be? What is it for? All this kind of jazz. And I just said to him, hey, look, like, I don't want Kayla to just come over and do a 90-minute thing. I want to actually run a workshop with Kayla, and I want it to be about this. And he goes, great, okay, I'll pass it by Kayla. And then Kayla messaged me saying, like, fuck yes, this sounds amazing. And he let me know that she was all for it. So I was like, awesome, I'm collabing with Kayla Brenda. What the fuck, pinch me moment. And so from there, fast forward maybe, 6 months, Jordan gets back to me and says, okay, Kayla's definitely coming to Australia, and it's going to be around these dates. Let's lock in your dates. So we locked in my dates, and now here's the part that I want to get a little bit more technical with you guys. So you've heard the story. Now we're at the part of, what does it actually take? What is involved in bringing an international artist over? So I'm going to tell you what it took. I'm going to tell you what was involved. And I want to share this with you because I want you to learn about what is involved. I want to let you in on behind the scenes. And I also want to inspire those and encourage those that also want to do the same to be better prepared than I was, or to even maybe learn from my mistakes, or just already have this knowledge so you know what is about to come. So I got sent all of the rates and what was involved to bring Kayla over. I did all the math, and my first response was I immediately freaked out, and I just thought to myself, I have no idea how the fuck I'm going to make this happen. I have no idea how I'm going to be able to put this money together and securely bring Kayla over without basically getting a sore thumb in our bank accounts. I had to take a couple of days, and I came to the conclusion of another mantra that I live by is live your life the way that you want to tell the story. So in that moment, a couple of days later, I reminded myself of this mantra and thought to myself, how do I want to tell this story? Do I want to tell the story to my kids or to my students or anyone else in my life or even to myself that I gave up the opportunity to exclusively bring Kayla Brenda over because she wasn't going to go to our studio and other studios. She was approached by other studios, but it was exclusively with Amongst Queens. We were first in because of the contact that I had with Kayla 8 months ago. So I said to myself, I do not want to tell the story that I gave up this opportunity, that I was too scared, that I didn't know how to make it work. I wanted my story to be that I did bring Kayla Brenda over to Amongst Queens. I was able to do an incredible, wholesome collaboration with her, and we were able to create an incredible experience for the community. I wanted that to be a part of the story for Amongst Queens. I wanted that to be a part of the story beyond me, for Queens, for the community members as well. I wanted that to be part of their story, and I also wanted it to be part of my story. So I thought, I'm going to put my doubt aside. I'm going to put all of this shit that I clearly have to work through in order to get me to where I want to be. And I'm going to say yes. And I'm just going to go for it. And I'm going to figure it out as I go, no matter what. So I said yes to Jordan, and everything kicked off. Everything locked in. All of the promo started getting put together. So what's included or involved, I suppose, in bringing an international artist over? There's a few things, and I'm going to let you in on what these are. I've just got my little Trello board up here where all our systems exist. And in here, I've got a whole area dedicated to international artists. So I know the process. I know the system. I also know what I need to prepare for any future artists that come over. So in here are all of the expenses that are involved for an international artist and what they often ask for. Every international artist might vary, so just be aware of that. So the first thing that you have to pay for are their flights. Not just one way, but both ways. So full return flights. You also have to pay for travel days. Travel days is a cost involved for any time the artist is spending to get to you. So for example, Kayla came to us Thursday night, and then she had a break on Friday where we showed her around Perth, and then we did the workshop on Saturday, and then she flew out Sunday morning. So for me, I had to pay for 2 travel days because she was there on Friday and Saturday, 2 whole days, so I had to pay that travel day. Then there's the workshop payment. So how much does that artist charge for 1 hour or 90 minutes or 2 hours of their time teaching? You have to pay that. Then there's their food. So you have to cover all of their expenses for food. Often an international artist will ask to be paid at least $100 per day. They call it per diem or something, which I was like, what does that mean? I don't know what DIM means. So yeah, $100 per day. So since Kayla was here for 3 days, we had to pay her $300 while she was here for those 3 days to cover her food, which isn't too bad. And then there's accommodation. So you have to fully cater and accommodate the artist. And depending on the artist will depend on what how many stars or what kind of hotel or what kind of facility they settle for, or what is the minimum requirement for that. So for Kayla, it was a minimum of a 4 to a 5 star accommodation. So we had to do that for her for 3 nights. And then in terms of your own expenses, if you don't run a studio, you obviously have to think about studio hire, like we have to, because we don't have our own studio yet. It's happening. It's going to happen. I'm not going to talk about it though, because I'm going to go be about it next year. So we have to do studio hire. You have to take that into consideration. Now, because Nicole, FYI me, oh my God, decided to do a chair class as a part of the workshop, I had to look into purchasing more chairs because we only have 20 chairs that we own. So I had to look into that. And to my surprise, it was actually so much more of a fuck around than what it should have been. I thought I was going to be so well prepared with this. I was looking and hunting down chairs to buy. And not only that, I was also looking for chairs to hire. The hire rates were freaking ridiculous from most companies. And then the chairs that I went to go buy from like a secondhand place from different people who were selling the chairs themselves, they just like kept messing me around and then saying it was given to someone else. So that was a difficult moment. So I also had to go and figure out the chair situation and pay for that. Then there's promotion. So promotion includes, do you have any flyers, brochures, advertisements, marketing, any team members that are creating any of the promo? You have to pay for that as well. Then there's lights. So lights for hire are anywhere between, depending on what type you get, but it can be anywhere between like $100 to like $1,200 if you want it to be. It also depends on the quality of lights that you want and how many lights you want. Now, luckily, Douglas and I own a couple of lights, but we still had to hire out quite a lot of floodlights. We also got really messed around with this when it came to hire companies, but to our luck, we knew people in our community who had certain businesses that could provide us with lights. So we really thought hard to use our resources to call in our community and go, okay, who can we ask? Who can we ask for help from? And we reached out to those people and we were so lucky that they were able to help and lend us lights. We still paid them a fee to say thank you for their lights, obviously. But yeah, if you're wanting to bring an international artist over, the thing that you have to really take into consideration, because it creates the experience, is the environment that the workshop is going to be in. Is the environment big enough? Does it have a good vibe? What about the location? Is it like easily accessible for everyone? Now, the workshop I held was a little bit more south. It was then central to everyone. So it was a little bit out for some people, which is actually why some people decided not to come. But those who did decide to come were clearly a big fuck yes, because they paid for the full price ticket. They still drove like over an hour to make the workshop, and it just goes to show how much value they put in the workshop. So you will attract a very specific type of audience, very specific students to a workshop, depending on your price, depending on how much value you're providing, depending on the location, depending on the value that they see and how much value they see in Kayla or see also in yourself. So I really learned a lot from this, and I was so happy with the kind of people that we attracted to this workshop, because they clearly were all there for a fuck yes, because we were like the most expensive workshop like in Perth. And same with Amongst Queens classes. I'm pretty sure Amongst Queens classes is the most expensive dance class in Perth. And I didn't even know that until someone told me, and I was like, cool, but I'm not looking to compare. I'm feeling into the value of the space. And also when you're running a business, there's so much you've got to pay for, because outside of all of these expenses, there's also transaction fees. There's also GST when you're a company. There's also tax, and there's also paying for the team that is helping you with all of this. And then there's also your own time that often goes unpaid working on this outside of the workshop itself that happens on the day. So there's so much that goes into running a business. I've been running a business. If you've been following me for a long time, you know I've been running a business for almost 8 years now. It's something that I'm very experienced in. I've done multiple different things. And this business, this company is like humbling the fuck out of me. And I love it. And I'm learning so much about workshops, about in-person events, and about all of these systems that have to be in place for things to run smoothly, for things to be successful, meaning they book out and they make money and they help the community. And three, everyone wins. So yeah, let's come back to what expenses. So we got up to lights. And then the other expense that you have to consider when bringing over an artist is the videographer and the photographer. So luckily, being dancers or being company owners and doing all the workshops and personal development spaces Douglas and I hold, we know quite a lot of videographers and photographers. We've also had a lot of videographers be a student in our spaces. So we've built a really strong relationship with them, and we were able to call on some different videographers and suss out a rate that could be doable for us with all of these other expenses. And yeah, an incredible man came through, Mason Cullen. Definitely go check out his work. He is phenomenal and he's quick. And that's what really drew me to this videographer, is he's very quick with his turnaround and it's incredible value and it's incredible quality. And those are the three things that are so, so important, because with events like this that are so rare, that are so precious, you want to make sure that even if you're out of pocket at the end of the day, you have to get marketing material from it. You have to invest money in the long-term vision of that workshop. And if you don't have anything for it to be remembered by, then it's just been like a moment lived experience rather than something that gets to continue getting wins from it. So this video content is going to be a win for the community. It's going to be a win for the students. It's going to be a win for our business. It's going to be a win for Kayla. It's going to be a win for Mason. It's going to be a win for so many reasons and so many people. So it is vital that you have a marketing strategy in place when you're running these kinds of events. So those are all the expenses that were involved in bringing Kayla over, excluding what we like to call the luxury expense for the Friday that we took her and her partner around Perth and hung out and visited different places and got to know them. We took them out on some different experiences that we paid for. So we paid for them to go do these different experiences with us, and that was by choice. So we didn't include that in the total expenses. We kept that separate as a luxury expense, but that could also be something that you want to take into consideration. Like, why are you bringing the artist over? Is it just to look cool and have them run a workshop and gain from their marketing and branding? Or is it to build a long-term relationship, to give the community something special that is going to be memorable for them and impact their lives? Yeah, so it really matters where you are coming from when you are running something or when you're choosing to create something. Like, why? And for me, I decided that even if I'm out of pocket on running this event, even if the business is down in running costs after running this event, I am okay with that, because my intention behind this isn't to make money for this workshop. It wasn't to make money for this workshop. It was to give to the community an experience that is once in a fucking lifetime experience. It was the first time that Kayla came to Perth. It was the first time Kayla did a collaboration workshop. It was the first time that Kayla taught this specific choreograph that, yeah, was also another special thing. She offered to create something new for us, and I gave her some songs, and then we decided on Wildest Dreams, and she created that for us. So there were so many reasons why it was so special. And the main reason for wanting Kayla to come over, other than the community, was also to create a long-term relationship with someone, to get to know someone, and to also learn from them ourselves and to give back to them with a beautiful experience in Perth that is really going to, yeah, just nourish good relationships. If you are in business, one thing that you need to do if you haven't done it yet is write down your business values. And in our company business values, one of our biggest values is connection. And this means to value collaborations and community. Another one of our values is relationships, which is to nourish not just the short term of a relationship, but the long term win of a relationship as well. And if we are not doing that, it's not good for now, good for later, and good for everyone. If it doesn't tick those three boxes, then it's like a no for us. So bringing Kayla Brenda over was for multiple reasons, like I just mentioned, but it wasn't to make money. That wasn't the primary purpose. To make money would have been a huge bonus. Depending on what your intention is as a business for running the workshop or in-person event, or why you're bringing over the artist, will also depend on how much you charge per person to come to such an event. So even though the intention wasn't to make money from the event, there was still one thing that we have to be super real about, and that is we want to at least cover costs. So I had to take into consideration all of the expenses, including the US dollar changes with the Australian dollar, because that was frustrating. And I had to look at, okay, how much would I need to charge per person to get close to covering costs, to be sure that we're also going to cover costs with how many students can come. So I needed to provide a space that's big enough to have that many students to be able to charge that much money to be able to cover costs. So I had to take all of that into consideration and be smart about my pricing. Now, my pricing, before I looked at the expenses, my pricing was close to the amount that it turned out it had to be anyways. And the way that I decide on pricing is based off the feeling, and that's it. It's also based on the exclusivity of the event and the rarity of the event. So like, how often does this happen? What is the intention of this event? What does this event provide? And how rare is this? How exclusive is this? How limited is this to how many people? That also helps me determine the feeling of what the cost should be. So I go based off that first, and then I look at it logistically and I go over the numbers, and then I work out how much actually has to be to cover costs. And then I look at, okay, what does my feelings number look like, and what does my logistical number look like, and how can I make these both work for me? So the only thing that I had to do was increase the prices just a little bit to cover that little bit more of the cost. So the ticket prices ended up being $200 for a workshop pass and $250 for a Queen's Pass. The Queen's Pass included professional footage and a meet and greet with Kayla. Now, after the event, I look back and I go, I should have charged more from the start. So this is going into my lessons that I've learned now from running this event. The moment I decided this workshop was happening, I started marketing it and I decided on a venue, but I still in myself didn't fully decide that it was going to be the venue. I still kept myself open for finding a bigger space to hold more people. And that was one of my mistakes. I wish that I just decided on the venue and got in my mind that this is the venue, this is how many people it can hold, so then I could work out the exact price point that I needed to charge for the tickets. Because I kept myself open, I decided on a ticket rate that would cover costs only if I got a certain amount of people in. But with the venue that I was choosing, I actually couldn't fit that many people that I was anticipating to have in. So what had to happen once I noticed I couldn't find a bigger venue was I actually had to increase the ticket prices. So I made the original price an early bird and I increased the rest of the ticket prices. The second thing I had to do was actually cut the amount of tickets available for the workshop. So it became even more exclusive and more rare. So this put the ticket prices at a much higher value. So my mistake here was not deciding on the venue straight away, was not deciding on exactly how many people straight away so I could get that number right and I could get it right from the start and better from the start to make sure I was going to cover costs. So as a result, we ended up not being able to cover 100% of the costs after the workshop, which we were also prepared was going to happen, but that's one lesson learned. The second thing that I wish I did better was the chair hire and the light hire. I wish that that was sorted weeks and booked weeks before the event. So instead of fucking around and trying to rely on other people who are not a company, who are just freelancers, next time I'm going to make sure I go directly to a professional company or to these friends that actually do own light companies and get them booked in straight away. So that's the second thing I wish I did better. The third thing I wish I did better was know clearly what I wanted to have captured for the workshop by the videographer. So the videographer is incredible and works in live settings all the time, very intimate settings with breath work and healing spaces. So he's very good at acting like he isn't in the space. So I loved that. The only thing is, when you don't give a videographer exactly what you want, you always end up wishing you had something, and your common sense isn't somebody else's common sense. And in my head, I thought that certain things would be captured a certain way, like the end of group performances. I really wanted just a full front-on, no movement shot, but all of the shots were moving, and that's not his fault. That's my fault, because he was just doing his thing. And it wasn't until after the workshop where I was like, fuck, I forgot to tell him that I just want some still shots. So that was the third thing I wish I did better, was have a system that says clearly the things that I really want from that investment, from him being there, from his artistry being in the space. And the last thing I wish I did better as a teacher and as a dancer and as a coach and all these things was, I wish I let myself take up just as much space as I do in any Amongst Queens class. I definitely noticed that I showed up as myself, although I didn't take up as much space as I usually would in a full Queens class. But the things that I am proud of that did happen was, one, I brought Kayla Brenda over and it was a success and it was easy and it was such a good flow. The second thing I'm so proud of that I stuck with was choosing the venue once I did choose the venue. The third thing was setting up a Trello board that clearly showed me all the expenses, what has been paid for, what hasn't been paid for, what's yet to come, and also asking for separate invoices to just keep everything in the trackings area so clear. The other thing that I'm very proud of is my preparation. So preparing a choreograph instead of the night before class, actually preparing one a couple weeks before, getting video content for that, and doing the marketing really well with a good amount of time to get the word out there, with clean marketing, with great marketing that represents the brand. That is another thing that I'm really, really proud of that I did and that I was on to, that I was prepared for, and knowing your choreography inside and out, if you are teaching a workshop with anyone you're bringing over, is so important. You have to know your movement. If you don't know your movement, you cannot teach it. Someone can be a great dancer, but it doesn't mean that they're a great teacher. And this is where the lines get blurred, or some people forget about this, is even though you're inspired by the dancer, it doesn't mean that their teaching will be good. It doesn't mean that their movement will transfer onto you, only if they can teach it and they can explain it well so you can catch onto it. Only then will their movement transfer onto your body and you be able to become a better mover yourself. So as a teacher, it is so important that you know your choreography inside and out, that you also have options and variability in certain movements that are maybe more beginner or more advanced. So then when your people come, you can have a bigger spectrum of beginners through to intermediates dancing in the same room, but still being challenged in their own way. So that is another very, very important thing. One other thing I wish I did better was I didn't actually get a solo of my choreograph for the night, nor did I get a still shot of my choreo for the end of the night. And the reason why this didn't happen was because I didn't do one of the things I usually do before my classes, which is decide on the type of style of groups I'm going to call up for the end of, the end of chore performances. So instead, I kind of rush grouped everyone where I called up the obvious, but I forgot to really think about, okay, do I want to split this up into three? Do I want to split this up into two? What will actually flow better? What will be better? What will give everybody a really good space, a really good time to be seen and all that kind of stuff? And usually I'm on the ball with this, but that night I was just like so excited. And that was one of the things that I forgot to get clear on myself. So as a result, it transferred into class as not being that clear coming to the end of group performances. Maybe it was just myself that noticed that because all the other queens messaged me saying it was fucking sick. But that is my own self-reflection, and maybe you can also learn from that as well yourself. As a leader of any community, space, workshop, business, or person, it is vital that you remember to be humbled by your experience, to learn from the mistakes, to remember that you're human first, and to make sure that you know your inner peace so you can remain grounded in the stress, the struggle, or the challenge. One of my biggest takeaways from this experience was that no dream is ever too big. That every dream you dream of is just on the other side of all the bullshit that is holding you back. That you are actually so much more capable, your body is so much more capable than what your brain sometimes makes you believe you are. I also learned that not everybody is going to be supportive when you are doing great things, which is also why it is so important to cultivate and nurture a community around you that is for you, that believes in you, and that has the same values as you. You would have heard me mention multiple times throughout this podcast the amount of people that we called on in our community. And so if it wasn't for our community that we cherish, that we love, that we are so for, it is one of our number one values, then this event wouldn't have been able to happen. This event wouldn't have pulled through so smoothly. The reason why the lights and the sounds and all the settings in the studio were set was because the men in the community at Amongst Men came to help. It wasn't because of me. It wasn't because of some outsider that I asked. It was because of the community. And it's because the community knows how valuable this space is. The community always wants to give back to us because we are always giving to them. This community is for us, it stands by us, and we are also for them and stand by them. And that is why our community is so fucking strong, and I praise them and love them every single freaking day because they do so much for us more, and we are so thankful, me and Douglas being, for everything that they do. And no words can describe ever how thankful and grateful we are. If I didn't have such a great community around me, it would have been so hard to make this happen because I wasn't fully supported by the dance community. I was not fully supported by other dancers. I was not fully appreciated or respected by other companies and dancers for doing this workshop. And I see that and I know that and I hear them. But also my reason for doing this is so much more than any other excuse or reason for others to say that I'm not good enough or I'm not allowed to do what I do. My reason for doing this, for showing up, for bringing these experiences through for the community is far more important than what anybody else is saying about me whilst I'm trying to do it for the community. So let's sign off with the main messages about this podcast episode. Number one, be human and be a fucking good one first. Number two, do it better than you ever have before. If you're going to do something, do it the best you've ever fucking done it and back yourself. Number three, know your intention behind why you're doing something, why you're creating something, because that is the reason that's going to get you through. That is the thing that is going to be the shield of protection from any other bullshit, any other words that are trying to put you down, any other people that are trying to put you down and tell you you can't do what you want to do. Number four, community, community, community. If you don't have one, get amongst one. If you, no pun intended or no hashtag or promotion trying to happen there, hashtag get amongst it now. If you are leading and creating and cultivating a community right now in your business, in your career, make sure you take care of it. They are your family. Treat them the way that you want to be treated. Number five, dream bigger. If you think you're dreaming big, dream even bigger, because I promise you that that dream is closer than what you think. And if I can bring Kayla Brenda over within 9 months of just saying it as a joke, anything is possible and nothing is out of your reach. Number six, the last one, but definitely not the least, and most importantly, my favorite, is don't just talk about it, be about it. Go out there and create a story that you would be proud of telling. If you loved this podcast episode, remember to share it. If you're yet to review it and write a review, head to Apple Podcasts now and give us a review and tell us what you thought. Also, if you share this podcast to your social media, please share it to Instagram and make sure you tag at Nicole Lillian and tag at Amongst Queens. If you don't, I obviously won't see it and I'll be very upset and I won't know who this is impacting. But most importantly, if you do, I will love the fuck out of it and I will send you a message and say thank you and then love on it a little bit more. As I love to remind my queens in classes, give respect to those in your passing and those who you learn from, and also give acknowledgement to those who you've took from. Enjoy the rest of your day, guys, and remember, keep believing that you can. Bye-bye now.